Hi, I'm Gil Headley, and I'm the proud sponsor of the Anatomy and Movement Channel. Welcome. This conference is important. It's both groundbreaking and ground-building. Literally hundreds of thousands of us have gathered here to expand our experience of embodiment, and in so doing, evolve the embodied experience of our world. Embodiment is a practice that anchors us consciously into that which is common to us all, our human body. Regardless of our differences, and we have them, we all live out our lives in a body, and we're all connected by that shared experience. I've been developing integral anatomy for the past 25 years. I believe the human body is not a problem to be solved, but rather a gift to be received and explored. Integral anatomy is an approach to understanding the whole body, which emphasizes textural layers, continuities, and relationships. We notice differences not to create separation, but to appreciate that which unites us all. I'll be presenting here on the Anatomy and Movement Channel, as well as on the main stage, and I hope you'll join me to explore the heart of inner space. And for further study with me, check out my website, gilheadley.com. When you join my site, you'll automatically receive 3 free full-length courses because I'm on a mission to share what I've learned through my own deep exploration of the human form. And I'm certain that these courses will enhance and transform your own embodiment practice. I hope you enjoy the presentation.
And let's take a big, deep breath before I hand you over to Matt. Let's take a deep breath in and arrive right here, right now. And Matt, perhaps one more. I know you've been rushing. Let's do another one together. Great. Matt is a veteran strength and conditioning coach who has trained professional and elite amateur athletes. He's an industry leader, and as an industry leader, Matt hosts Canada's premier off-season hockey camp for top NHL players. Matt has founded, directed, and partnered with several innovative companies and has invented a revolutionary new line of sports supplements. Today, Matt is going to be showcasing methods and modalities that has been used with some of the greatest athletes and methods that you can use yourself and with your clients. A warm welcome, Matt. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here, and I apologize to everyone. I thank you for your patience. I was running around a little bit before the presentation today, and not at the best of times. I'm not the most technologically savvy person, but today I do have a certain legitimate excuse. I was just coming from the hospital, and if anyone knows anything about socialized medicine, it's wonderful for very many reasons, but like many things, you get what you pay for, so sometimes it's not always timely. But I'm here now, I'm excited, so let's get to it. It's time to go. So Nora, my trusty assistant, I'm very grateful for your help, and you can dive into the presentation now. We need some background music. I think that would be great. Okay, here we go. Hopefully we can bring that up into a main screen. I'm just gonna start talking, and I'm sure that Nora will figure it out in due course. So first of all, I'm very, very honored to be here, and I'm not sure, you know, maybe I might be a little bit atypical from some of the other presenters. And I would imagine that maybe on first pass, some of you might feel that the topic may not relate to you if you don't work with professional or elite or Olympic athletes. Maybe the conversation that we're having today might not pertain to you, but I don't think that's the case. And I think what you're going to find is that the message today, yeah, even though I do work with primarily with professional athletes, the things that we do are really not that different than probably many of the things that you do yourself, or that you might do with your clients or your patients. And hopefully you might find a few interesting ideas here, maybe that you're not doing, or if nothing else, it might just give you some reinforcement to know that the things that you are doing are really not entirely that different than what athletes at the highest level of sport are doing. Next slide, please. So again, our agenda today, we're gonna talk a little bit about why I do what I do, and you might give you cause to think about why you do what you do. I'm going to let you know a little bit about my background, not to toot my own horn or to promote what I've done, but just so that you can understand my journey and relate. And I think it's very important. Very often when I'm speaking to academic crowds. And when you're speaking before an academic institution, you always need to declare your biases first. So that's part of what I'm going to do in my background. We're going to be talking a lot about not necessarily always how to enhance performance and getting faster and stronger and things like that. We're going to talk a lot about preventing injuries or minimizing. You can't prevent all of them, but minimizing injuries, which obviously pertains to everybody here. And then how we use the play idea or the importance of fun in movement in what we do. You know, this is, after all, this is the movement conference for embodiment. We're going to talk about why that's important and how I've used what I think of as a holistic approach to having some level of success with the athletes that I work with. So now before we go to the next slide, I'm a strength and conditioning coach. It's a fancy way of saying personal trainer for athletes. So I thought it would be important to understand for any of you who are aspiring to be a successful personal trainer, this next instructional video will teach you how to accomplish that. Next slide, please. And we'll have to click on the video.
Sorry, it doesn't play.
Oh, that's a shame.
That's why I would like to have like a little
play. No, if you go down to the bottom of, there should be a little, down at the bottom left corner of the picture, there should be a little play button. There you go, bottom left.
So you want to be a personal trainer?
Yes, I want to be a famous celebrity trainer, and I want to make tons of money.
Do you have any experience?
I'm in really great shape. I've been working out for years.
But do you have any experience? Have you ever designed a program for anyone else?
I give all my friends advice. I just and I have a big DVD collection.
How do you know what to tell other people?
I read Shape and Men's Health, and I found that Susanna Girl on YouTube.
How would you design workouts?
I would Google free workouts. It's easy to be a trainer.
You would Google workouts and give them to clients who pay you for advice?
Yes, it's easy to be a trainer. Everyone posts really good workouts.
But how do you know they're good workouts?
If they look really crazy, they must be really good. I only pick the craziest, hardest workouts because I am in such good shape. I could be an amazing trainer.
So you think good workouts must be really crazy and hard?
Yes, I would only give people the hardest workouts I could Google.
What if a client can't get it right away?
Well, that's because they suck. I don't want to train people who suck.
So you would be an amazing trainer for advanced hardcore intense FLs then? You would only train the sickest, most uncaged psycho diehard fitness addict, then, right?
Yes, because I'm so good, I can't waste my amazing Google workouts on lazy, fat, unmotivated people who can't keep up with me.
How would you make them keep up with you?
I would train them until they throw up, and I would yell at them. Yelling is very motivating for last fat people.
Can you touch your toes?
No, but I can bench 350. Once.
Why should I hire you? How do I know you'd be good?
Look at my abs. I have a six-pack, and I'm really good-looking. I'm really motivating, because I look so good.
But, have you ever gotten anyone else in shape?
No, most people are lazy and don't push themselves.
What would make someone push themselves? How would you motivate someone to push themselves?
I would take half-nude pictures of myself, so they can see how hot I am.
So if you're really hot, you must be a good trainer.
Yes, all good trainers are really hot.
Can you teach me how to do a push-up?
Sure, watch me. I can do 100.
But I still don't understand. Can you teach me how? I know you can do 100 push-ups. Can you teach me how to do one push-up so my back doesn't hurt?
Sure, watch me. I can do 100 push-ups.
I know you can do 100 push-ups, but my back hurts when I do push-ups. Can you tell me why?
Watch me. I can do 100 push-ups.
Okay.
There you have it. So, as we now know, if you want to be a successful trainer and work with elite athletes, you need to be really hot. You need to be able to bench 350 and do 100 push-ups, right? And if anyone doesn't get great results this way, it's because they're lazy and unmotivated and fat, and you just need to yell at them more, okay? Probably, you know, a little tongue-in-cheek, a little funny, but the sad reality is that's actually not that far from what I see, or at least what's being promoted today in social media, which is another reason why I'm so excited to be here with everybody today, because this is the message that people need to hear. And a lot of times I know that people are thinking, okay, but I want to look like an elite athlete, or I want to train elite athletes. So I kind of want to do things like the embodiment conference, and I kind of want to listen to the people that are there, and I kind of want to be interested in meditation and yoga, but that's not hardcore, and that's not what the pros do. I want to do the hardcore thing. I'm here to tell you today, that is what we do, okay? And we don't do any of this nonsense that you just watched here. So I hope you had a chuckle, but it is a bit of a reality check. Next slide, please. So Simon Sinek, there we go, there's a tongue twister. Simon Sinek has got a fantastic book, and he's got several books, and is a wonderful speaker, but one that I like, and it really resonated with me, he talks about start with why. So anytime I give a presentation, is no different than anytime I sit down to write a new program for an athlete or to write the programs for all the athletes that I work with or do our planning. Before I worry about which exercise or how many sets and reps I'm going to do with an athlete, or before I sit down and prepare my slides for a presentation like this one, I start with asking myself, why? Why am I even here today? Why am I doing this today and speaking to you? And I can tell you that's really simply because I believe very strongly in the message. I think it's important because not everyone that would be on this call or participating in the conference today may have had an opportunity yet, should you want to, with work with professional or elite athletes. And maybe you might be a little bit intimidated, or maybe you might be uneducated about what it takes at that level. So I have a passion for teaching. I come from a family of teachers. I was a classroom teacher at one point in time, many, many moons ago. I love to teach. I still teach. I just teach athletes in a gym setting, but I'm still teaching. So my goal, my why, is I want to share my experience with the hopes that maybe it might inspire a couple of people, or at least educate a few people. And I want to show you that a lot of the things that you're listening to today that are promoting health and wellness, you don't have to sacrifice those to work with athletes at the elite level. Next slide, please. Okay, so again, as I told you, if you ever are speaking to an academic crowd at a university or a setting like that, you always have to have your disclaimers, make sure that you announce any known biases that you have. Usually that's referring to payment that you receive from any companies or endorsements or sponsorships. I have none of those, but I do have some other disclaimers. Next. Whoa, where'd we go? There we are. So I'm going to keep it very simple today. I'm not going to be talking about anatomical terms and using, you know, biomechanical terms or physiological terms. You know, in the intro, you saw the advertisement for a course on anatomy. Highly encourage you to take it. Looks really cool. I'm not doing that today. We're going to keep it very, very simple. Okay. And there's a reason for that. It's not just for brevity, or not, it's not my own humility, or I'm not talking down to anyone here. It's not that at all. It's because I feel like that is one of the big problems in this industry, is that a lot of people get caught up in technical jargon and we just don't talk plainly. And I think when you can speak plainly, and I really wish that I was there with everyone today and not on Zoom, because I can't always tell. I could normally look into the audience and see if what I'm saying is resonating. And I think that it is important to keep it simple. So I will try to do that. And if I don't, you have my information. You can always reach out after and ask me to explain it further. Next slide. Okay, if you haven't heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect, you should look it up. Again, a little bit funny on this graph, but it really is kind of true. If I was speaking at this conference 22 years ago when I started in this business, I would be able to tell every single person exactly what they need to do. I would know exactly how you should train, exactly what you should eat, all the supplements you should take and how you should think and everything else, right? As I've been longer and longer in this business, I'm going on 22 years now, I'm less and less certain of anything that I say. I'm constantly thinking about my message. I'm constantly going back and rereading books, evaluating my position on things. There are a lot of ambiguities. And unfortunately, the answer to many questions that you might have is, I don't know, or it depends. So if I do come across as a little bit vague or general, I'm not trying to be evasive. I'm just being honest with you. And I'm telling you exactly how I feel, because the longer you are in any business, you find out that there are a lot of ambiguities and a lot of intricacies. It's not as easy to have simple rules. Next. And one more important disclaimer. There's a couple more, but here's an important one for me. Throughout my presentation, I'm going to be saying the word I a lot. I'm talking about what I do. This is what I think. This is what I have done. It's important to know that I currently work with a very robust staff, and this is just a handful, one of my equipment staff managers and three of my coaches. I also have medical doctors, physiotherapists, chiropractors, osteopaths, massage therapists, yoga instructors, Eldoa instructors, Pilates instructors, sports psychologists, mindfulness movement coaches. We all work together in unison. So when I'm talking about when we've had some pretty incredible results, it's never about me though. It's about the system, it's about the team, and it's about how we work together and synergize. Next slide. And again, back to my why am I here today in the first place? So I was asked to be here by a good friend of mine, Paul Cech, who's also speaking, or may have already spoken, I apologize, I don't know the schedule. If you are familiar with Paul, then you know I don't need to go on, and there wouldn't be enough time in my presentation just to talk about him. But if you have an opportunity, if you've missed it in this conference or you have an opportunity in the future, please take your time to listen. I have two master's degrees. I've taken probably an entire lifetime, certainly more than my 10,000 hours worth of continuing education, and certainly a hell of a lot more than $10,000 worth of continuing ed. But if I had to go all back and do it all over again, I would say this is, you know, his courses were probably the most instrumental to me. And if you're already involved in this conference as an attendee, you probably already kind of buy into his general message. And it really has shaped my philosophy and a lot of what I do. So a little shout out to my man, Paul Cech. Next slide. So just so you're aware, and I won't belabor it, but to understand my background, I went to McGill University in Montreal. I did a bachelor's of education at the same time. I did an undergraduate degree in kinesiology and also a minor in history just for fun because I like it. I went on to York University, which is in Toronto, Canada. I did a master's degree in kinesiology and I also did a master's degree in coaching. That whole time I was running a private business working with athletes from a variety of sports. The funny thing is, I didn't play hockey as a kid growing up, and truth be told, I really don't even know how to skate. Wasn't necessarily a hockey fan. I played football or American football for any of the Europeans on the call. Real football. You know, we can talk about that after. But I ended up working in when you're in Canada and you're in Toronto, we have lots of sports. We, you know, our basketball team just won the world championship, which is pretty cool. But hockey sort of rules the day. So before you know it, I had one NHL client. He had a good result, referred a friend, he referred a friend. And before you know it, I was training more hockey players than any other sport. I was asked, or my name was forwarded to our local team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, which if you're not a hockey fan, it's kind of, you know, the Canadian equivalent of the New York Yankees or Manchester United. It's a pretty big deal in our country, which, you know, that could be a lecture in and of itself because, you know, as a non-hockey guy who did not apply for that job, it was a little bit nerve-wracking when I got it. Sort of is the most high-profile job in my country. Really felt kind of like a fraud or a phony when I got the job, and I was kind of panic-struck. But I fell back on the principles that we're going to talk about today. And even though I wasn't a hockey expert at the time, it helped me get through because at the end of the day, I didn't have to be an expert in hockey. I wasn't there to work with hockey players. I was working with human beings who happened to play hockey, who needed to sleep better, move better, eat better, recover better, and get stronger and faster. And the hockey part, I didn't have to worry about too much. Now, I would say that I've spent a lot of time over the last 20 years to gather a lot more expertise, but it wasn't a prerequisite for me having success in that. Two other little side notes. While I was doing that, I created / invented a product that has become a popular sports supplement, at least here in North America. I'm no longer involved in that company. And also the really cool thing is that all these principles that I've been gathering for the last 22 years, when I was working with the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, I was in a position to affect change in the weight room and with those players, but I really didn't have a role beyond that to surround myself with the staff, the medical staff, doctors, therapists, not to say that any of the ones that I work with weren't fantastic because they were. But it was it wasn't a staff assembled or a philosophy or mission statement that was designed by me. I've had that opportunity recently, and we're going to talk about that, to work with a Canadian Football League team, imparting the principles that we're talking about today. And, it, you know, spoiler alert, we've had a pretty cool result with that. So next slide, please. We skipped ahead a little bit, but that's okay. This is important. These are just a few snapshots of some of my clients. These are athletes that I actually do work with on a day-to-day basis. You know, we've got Stanley Cup champions in the top left and top right corner. We've got a two-time NBA world champion, Super Bowl contender in the bottom left corner, second fastest man in the world, the fastest female brakesman in bobsled, who also happens to be arguably the best female rugby player in the world, or certainly one of the most the fastest, most powerful ones. So, you know, I would like to say I may not be the best at anything I do, but I think there's a certain qualification that when I'm talking about the principles that we're using today, these work, okay? And they work at a very high level. So I think we can qualify that. And to show you a little example of what I might do on a day-to-day basis at my job, the next slide will have a video can kind of give you an idea of what a day looks like in my life at work. And there's a video again down in the bottom corner. Thank you, Nora.
Sorry, Matt, this video is not able to play. I don't know why. I cannot, movie files.
Well, okay. Well, you know what? So I see Sydney there. Maybe she can, if she has any suggestions, she could type it in the chat. And if not,
it says media not found.
Okay. Well, you know what? There's some cool music and guys doing all kinds of exercises. So there you go. I summed it up. It's it would be very easy to find it anyway, but suffice it to say, I think I have the coolest job in the world. This video probably would have shown you some cool things, but that's okay. We're going to move on. It doesn't affect the presentation. So what I want to get across today, and if you're not a hockey fan, side note, the guy in the picture beside me is probably the fastest hockey player, maybe in history, certainly the fastest hockey player now. What is the difference between training a guy like that and training, a stay-at-home mom, a guy that works at the bank, a mail carrier, someone who works at the supermarket? Is there a difference, and what is that difference? And even within athletes, is there a difference between team sport athletes and individual sport athletes? And what's different about my approach? So now we're going to dive in. Go ahead, next slide, please. We're going to dive into the meat of the presentation now. But one thing, and we're going to come back around to this later, I want you to think before we finish today, I'm going to ask you again, this is important. Anytime I sit down with a new athlete, everybody comes in and they have very similar requests. I want to get stronger. I want to get faster. I want to get leaner. I want to score more points, blah, 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 blah. It's all kind of the same. But I have to think about, okay, what is the one thing? What's the one most important thing that's going to move this person forward in their career? So yes, everyone needs to get stronger, but is that the thing for them? Or is it speed? Or is it conditioning or endurance? Is it their flexibility or mobility? So when I'm giving this presentation today, I want you to think about what's the one thing that you can take away from this presentation? What's the one concept, idea, exercise, whatever case may be, that you're going to put into practice immediately? So tomorrow or Monday, if you're not back at work till Monday, what's the one thing you're going to do? Now, on the next slide, this is how my performance is judged. Largely, when I'm consulting with teams or when I'm working with these elite athletes, if I can help them, like our funny video at the start, bench 350 pounds or do 100 push-ups, that's great. If I can help them have chiseled six-pack abs like the little bear in the video, that's great too. But none of that matters if they don't stay healthy and they can't play. So all of these athletes, if you are the worst athlete in Premier League soccer, or you're the worst athlete in baseball or basketball or track and field at the Olympic level, you are still an exceptional athlete in 0.1% of the human population. So I don't make them better athletes. I believe I might try to, but I really feel they're pretty good athletes when they arrive on my doorstep. But if I can keep them healthy and able to play for a long time, that's the goal. That's the standard. So how do we do that? Okay, we're going to talk about physiological priorities, and it's very important to know that your body does not care how much you can bench press, and it doesn't care if you're good at hockey or basketball or soccer. It just wants to live from one day to the next. And in order of priorities, it needs to keep your brain well nourished and well hydrated and safe. It needs to keep your gut healthy. And then if you can do those two things, it will reward you with performance. So it doesn't care about what's going on in the top right-hand corner of the picture. If you don't satisfy those two primary needs, you won't be able to do that for very long anyway.
Matt, the lovely Jimmy has provided us with a link to the video, and we can go.
Oh, there we go.
Would you like? Why not?
Sure, it's fun.
Great. So, Nora, I'm going to stop your screen share for a moment. Marvelous. And here we go.
Strawberry, banana, ice, water, yogurt, and protein.
Maybe it's just a commercial.
It's pretty relaxing out here in Tuas, and it's not a lot going on. You kind of grow up with all your friends, and they usually stay here, and you see the same people every time you come back. It's just nice, relaxing.
Is that not it, Matt?
No, that's not it. Why don't we just move on? It's okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, wonderful technology. So, Nora, if you could bring us back in, that would be wonderful, and we'll just keep rolling with the presentation. So, down to Maslow's hierarchy of needs right here, our little triangle. So, no different if you are working with an elite professional athlete or anybody else, okay? If you don't, I would hope that everyone, if you are a health professional in any capacity working with human beings, you should know about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And if you don't, please look it up this weekend. This is how we, I'm not gonna get into that. You can Google that yourself, but this is how I interpret that on the next slide. Okay, so everyone, usually when they show up on my doorstep, they're all very excited about the top of that pyramid. They want to do sports-specific training, faster, stronger, more explosive, plyometrics, power movements. We don't waste any time on any of that until we satisfy these bottom priorities, because that's how your body works. Next slide. And so now this is where it really ties in with the movement conference, why we're here today. So I want to talk a little bit about this. So there's an athlete here in the top right corner who's also in the bottom left of the picture of the three gentlemen there, and a very cool experience that I had working with this athlete. So he was the first hockey player to defect from the former Soviet Union and come over by himself and play over here in North America. And when he did that, when he escaped, essentially, and came over here, it was really cool because at the time, for those of you who are old enough to remember the Soviet Union, they were the gold standard in my business. So all of these training concepts, people were fascinated with how their athletes could be so much stronger, so much faster than everybody else. I had the opportunity to work with this guy, and he had been a product of what was called the Soviet sports school system, meaning that when he was 13 years old, he was taken from his home, basically, you know, the equivalent of going from Newfoundland in Canada to Vancouver in Canada, if there's Canadians on the call. Anyway, suffice it to say, very far away. His town was called Khabarovsk, right on the corner, the border of the Soviet Union and China, and was brought all the way to Moscow for the sole purpose of becoming an elite hockey player and helping them win Olympic gold medals for national pride. They did not care if he wanted to play hockey or not. They did not care if he had any fun. They did not care if he enjoyed his experience. They only cared about making him the best hockey player possible, along with him and his teammates. And when I talked to him about his training, you know, I expected to hear a lot about, you know, power cleans and squats and heavy lifting and all sorts of this. And one thing that he mentioned is they talked about they had mandatory basketball and mandatory volleyball, mandatory gymnastics style training. They did boxing and martial arts style training, which was really fascinating to me because, you know, those are things that we preach here in North America because it's important to be well-rounded, or you don't want to burn your kids out and you don't want to get them too specialized too early. The Soviets, they didn't care about any of that. They didn't care about fun. They didn't care about well-rounded, but they knew it would make them the best athletes possible. So a little light bulb went off in my head. And I knew that I've always had an issue with athletes, especially young ones, being so focused only on the gym or only on the track, because I believed that being a well-rounded athlete and playing a variety of sports and moving, this is the movement conference, moving in a variety of different ways would make them better athletes. But I also knew for sure it would be fun. It would break up the monotony of training, and it would provide them with a good base so that later in life, because even if you are a professional athlete with a long career, at least in North America now, 35 years old would be a very old professional athlete. And if you were talking about an NFL player, that's ancient. That doesn't happen, you know? If you're talking about a basketball player, a hockey player, that's old. Baseball players might play a little longer, but these guys are going to be alive for a long time. So I want to make sure that they also have healthy lifestyle habits, but beyond that. But then when I heard that, I didn't have to sacrifice elite performance for fun and well-roundedness. That to me was the home run. So I'm going to show you how I've incorporated that into the work that I do with my athletes. And it's important to understand, again, when I show them, they don't know. So we do, as a part of our program with our NHL hockey players, we have mandatory volleyball that we do in the sand, beach style volleyball. We have mandatory squash. We have mandatory boxing style training. We play spike ball. We play little soccer games, all this stuff. Someone just suggested the documentary with Wayne Gretzky and Pelé, Search of Greatness. Amazing. Watch it. Same message. So the next video will show you why I do it with my hockey players. Don't worry about anything from the waist up. Watch these guys from the waist down. So they don't know that we're training for hockey when we're at the volleyball court. They think it's a fun day off. They think we're just goofing around, having a good time, taking a break from the gym. That's not the case. Okay, this is serious training. Look at the effort. These guys are diving, rolling, getting up. They're giving more effort than you ever could expect someone to give you in a gym. Look at the effort that's going in. Look at the movement patterns. Look at the way their ankles and their knees move. Okay, it does not look that different than what you see on the ice. Okay, moving in space, accommodating for people in your space, being aware, spatial awareness, okay? And the most important part of all this to me is that while they're doing this, they are having a blast, okay? We're not running back and forth on a soccer pitch or a field. We're not doing sprints on a bike, on some kind of a salt bike or climbing things or smashing things. We do some of that too. I'm not going to lie to you. We do some stuff that's also not always fun, but here's a case of a guy, you know, for an hour and a half or 2 hours, having the time of the... Now, watch this next video. I hope we can get sound. Sound would be great. Love. Can you give me sound? Oh. Oh, I don't think so. Come here, Sean. Listen to these guys having fun. Okay. We're playing tag, no walking, different than you might walking. Do with a kindergarten class, okay? Now, important note, we're wearing heart rate monitors while we train. I can tell you that their heart rate is as high as it would be in any on-ice practice drill. I can also tell you that the average salary of the guy who's out there goofing around playing tag is about $4 million US, okay? This is serious business, but we're moving and we're having fun, okay? I want that to be an important takeaway. Okay, I'm going to address a little bit about nutrition and lifestyle. That's not what this presentation, it's not a nutrition and lifestyle presentation necessarily. So we're going very, very, very high level. I'm sure there's much more in-depth presentations you can attend. I just want you to understand, next slide, how important it is and why it's important for me. So as we deal with nutrition, number one, there's a saying, you know, when you hear hoofbeats, you should think horses, not zebras. Okay, and that is a great saying, because a lot of times many of us skip to the coolest, sexiest, most complicated program, whether it's nutrition or training, and we miss the basics. However, in the case of nutrition, I do not give out any random nutrition advice without having a basic medical understanding. Okay, are peanuts or almonds healthy for you? Good question. Well, I don't know. If my brother eats one, he's probably going to drop dead on the floor. I can eat them all day long. So are they healthy or not? For me, they're okay. Maybe not so much for him. So make sure that you rule out any important underlying medical situations or conditions. Number two, study nutrition for the brain. You can go back or not. It doesn't matter. Study nutrition for the brain and study nutrition for the gut. Before you worry about sports nutrition or enhancing performance with supplements, whatever is healthy for your brain and whatever is healthy for your gut will make you a better hockey, soccer, basketball, squash, ping pong, European handball, underwater bowling, whatever you're into, it'll make you better. Okay. That your body doesn't care about the sport. Remember that. Okay. We worry about macros and micros more in the case of aesthetics or if there are weight goals. Okay. So if you are a weightlifter, a boxer, a wrestler that has to make a weight category, understanding the macronutrients and maintaining a certain weight is of vital importance to you. If you're not, I'm less concerned with that. I'm more concerned with health and micronutrients. Okay. Then, you know, this whole subject of genetics versus epigenetics, you could go down a rabbit hole for weeks on that. I would say this, I've done every genetic test that's out there. I think there's some value there for sure. I'm not going to discount that, but epigenetics are far more important than genetics. And unless you're addressing the things above on this slide, don't waste your time or money on that. Okay, we're going to go to lifestyle. Next slide, thank you. Okay, again, this is probably, you know, if you would have asked me 22 years ago, I might have paid some lip service to this and agreed that it is important. And really it was Paul Check who kind of opened my eyes to a lot of these topics. But I would say this, sleep is the number one performance enhancer for elite athletes. Unquestionably, it's the most important thing. And it's the one area that most are so lousy at. And the crazy thing is, it's completely free. It's completely it's almost entirely in your control. And now that being said, I understand for the people that are listening, I remember saying that before, that there's no excuse and sleep is completely under your control. And I had a new mom in the audience educate me as to why that was a very stupid comment. And now I realize that yes, it is. So, but you know, for the most part, you know, I'm dealing with 21-year-old professional athletes. In a lot of cases, it's very highly in their control. It's super important. We're going to skip through the next couple of slides because I know we're running a little bit tight on time and I want to make sure we have some time for questions. But suffice it to say that, in my case, and I don't know who you work with, but I can tell you that the average age of my clients is probably 24. And I have a lot of clients that are younger than that. Video games are a huge challenge. iPhones or smartphones are a huge challenge. Blue light in general before bed is a huge challenge. Anything you can do to thwart those things is great. It's important to understand with your autonomic nervous system, both of these branches are important. So that fight or flight response, words like adrenaline or cortisol, which gets a really bad rap, they serve a purpose and they are important. Your body doesn't do things for no reason, all right? So it's important to know that everything has a time and a place. So if I'm about to go step up onto the podium at the Olympics, and attempt a world record clean and jerk, I want my sympathetic nervous system to be jacked up. You know, I want to be ready to lift maximal weight, okay? So I might incorporate breathing practices that will help me do that. I might take supplements that might help me do that. I might have very specific warm-up protocols that will help me do that. I played American football. At my position, I was a defensive lineman. Stories about guys smashing their head into the wall before games is quite normal. I didn't personally do that, but you know, that getting into that almost a state of psychosis, that might have a result, that might have a beneficial result for some people, for certain sports, but in general, that's not how you can live your life. You can't walk around like that. So it's very important. A lot of the work that we do is teaching our athletes through breath work, through meditation, through things like Tai Chi or Qigong, how to play around and manipulate the nervous system to either bring it down by stimulating parasympathetic or to bring it up if you need to by stimulating sympathetic, okay? Next slide, please. And the reason that we do that is that optimum performance always occurs in this zone on what's called the arousal curve. The catch is that people can be at any point on that curve at any time, like any point of the day or any day of the week or any week of the month. And some people tend to be on one side or one aspect more than the other. As far back as 2004, I was using something called heart rate variability training. We were using a tool then called the Omega Wave. There are a lot of other tools you can use now. But what we found is that, you know, kind of go figure, just like nutrition, just like everything else, there is no one size fits all formula for this. And we found that I had some athletes who were very parasympathetic dominant, some who were very sympathetic dominant. So those sympathetic dominant athletes, like the one I showed you in the slide, who was part of the Soviet sports school system, sympathetic, dominant, super, super fast twitch athlete, very twitchy, very reactive. Okay. Before a game, he needed to come down. He might have needed to speak to someone who's on this call that has expertise in yoga or meditation to get him relaxed enough to be back up at the top of that curve. I have some other parasympathetic dominant athletes that they don't need that. They need to go slam down a triple espresso, have a cold shower and slap themselves in the face and get ready to go, right? There is no one size fits all perfect way for everybody to get there, but everybody does have to get into that optimal zone. So next slide, please. Okay. There's a couple of slides that are going to come that, and we'll get to those after, but I really want, because I know we're running short on time and I want to have time for questions for these takeaways. Okay. Before you leave today, what's the one thing that you found benefit from, or the one question that you still have? What is that that you can put into practice immediately? Okay. I tried to keep it simple. I hope I did. If I didn't, please let me know and I'm happy to elaborate, but I hope that you will do the same. Okay. Someone said something to me very early on in my career, which stayed with me. And it was pretty funny. I don't think it was meant to be funny at the time, a bit of a put down, but that's okay. I've learned from it, is that when someone asks you what time it is, don't tell them how to build a watch. Okay. I always like to talk and teach and explain, but sometimes we just have to keep it simple. That's what people need. And choose your experts very wisely. Okay. That Dunning-Kruger effect. The social media world that we live in is full of experts. It's full of people like that very first video that we had. I look great, therefore I'm an expert and you should do what I do. When you're looking for the experts, and there are many experts that are speaking here in this conference, the questions I would have are, have you done it yourself? Like the little bear in the video, that's great, but that's not enough for me. Have you helped anybody else do it? Just like they said, okay, it's great that you can do 100 push-ups. It's great that you have a six pack, but can you help me? So learning how to be a better teacher, being more well-rounded by attending conferences like this. And then more important, has this person helped someone exactly like you? Have they helped multiple different people to do what it is exactly that you want to do? And when you find someone like that, hold on tight and show them your appreciation and ask them lots of questions. And hopefully that'll be helpful. So I want to make sure that we do have some time for some questions. And Nora or Thandi, I've already stated the fact that I am not very tech savvy. So you'll have to take care of how that goes with questions. You can ask them here if we have time. And if we run out of time, you've got all my contact information there. You can fire me a note. So thank you very much for participating. And if you have questions, fire away. And if not, I hope you have a great remainder of your day.
Great. No, don't go anywhere. We have some questions. Thank you so Wonderful. Much. We have a question from Marsha. What is a way to motivate the average person who works a sit-down job, a mom who wants to improve, a person with not much confidence? Many individuals have good intention to improve, but consistency is missing and motivation goes with mood.
Yeah, well, you must have missed the first video. You yell at them and tell them how lazy and out of shape they are, and that should work. But no, in all seriousness, I think maybe helping them find their why. Why when people say, I want to get in shape, why? What does that mean? You know, and I always ask I preface this by saying 99% of my clients are professional athletes. I do have some clients who are not. I've got two clients that are one is 77, one is 76. One of them has been a client for 21 years, the other one for 11. They're in phenomenal shape and they're like simply a joy to be around. Just a wealth of life experience, both incredibly successful guys, both incredibly fit people. But you know, they're atypical of my clientele. So I have athletes that show up that say, I need to get stronger. I'm not strong enough. Or I'm not fast enough. And these are people that when they walk down the street, I'm sure myself included, people say, oh man, I wish I could be like him or her. Right. So I will say, well, how do you know that you're not strong enough? How do you know that you're not fast enough? Give me a real life example. So if I were working with, someone who wasn't a professional athlete, what does it mean to you? Like, what exactly is it that you can't do? And I've had, everything from pouring a bottle of wine hurts my shoulder to a very, very successful female client, a very well-known, very, very successful person, a professional person diagnosed with MS, who told me that the reason she came to me was because last week, her four-year-old fell off his bicycle in the driveway and was crying for mommy to come help him up. and she couldn't run to get him. Okay, so understanding the motivation, she doesn't need to hear about big biceps and how many bench presses, like some very clear motivations for her, right? So understanding what their definition of health is, what their definition of success is, finding their why. Okay, so starting with that, and a lot of times those people, why, and you have to think, why wouldn't someone want to move? It's, I mean, your body loves movement. Your body loves healthy food. Your body loves sleep. When someone, and I've been that person. I own a gym. I've got $150,000 worth of gym equipment at my disposal. And I have days I'm at the gym from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. and I couldn't find the time to do 10 minutes of exercise. Guilty as charged. But why is that? On those days, when I look back, that's the day I didn't sleep well the night before. Or the night before that, I didn't eat well. Too much coffee. I'm pissed off. I'm stressed out. I got a million things on my mind, right? So again, I find that when I sleep well, when I eat well, when I'm well hydrated, when I'm in a good headspace and I'm breathing well, funny enough, I find time to exercise. Or I caught myself in something my clients do. I don't find time. I make time to exercise. But now I'm less judgmental of people who say, I just can't find the time. That's okay. I know why you can't find the time. So forget about the exercise, forget about the gym. We're so brainwashed that you have to go to this place with all these super fit people and loud disco music and lift these weird machines. Maybe in order to get that body that you want, the six pack abs, whatever, maybe we don't even have to talk about the gym. Maybe we got to talk about sleep. Maybe we got to talk about hydration. Maybe we got to talk about mindfulness or movement. Maybe, you know what? I've had athletes, I've told them, you are not allowed to come to the gym. It's a true story. Using the heart rate variability monitoring, this athlete was constantly in sympathetic stress to the point that my Omega, if anyone has ever used an Omega Wave, tell me if you've, I've done thousands of these tests. I don't know if you've ever seen this. I've seen this twice. A prompt came up on the computer saying, seek immediate medical attention. Okay. This is an athlete who's about to go do power cleans and squats. Not only should they not, like, so understand that this is an athlete who is not diagnosed with any issue. They're not complaining about anything. They're willing to do whatever I tell them to do in the gym. And it's the last thing. So I've given athletes a week off and prescribed yoga. Okay. And meditation. They've come back and broken personal best in the gym. Not because of the sets and reps, not because of some supplement, because their tank was on empty. You can step on the gas pedal all you want. That car ain't going to go anywhere. Okay. So understanding that, that person that can't, that needs the motivation. 22 years ago, I would have given them some cheesy quote, or I would have given them my pseudo Tony Robbins, rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, go get them. Now, you know what? Maybe they just need a break. Maybe they need a hug. Maybe they need to sleep. Okay, that would be my two cents.
Thanks, Matt. We have a couple more questions, but I'm not sure we're going to get to all of them.
We'll talk really fast.
Great. I'm going to start with Julie with your second question. Julie was talking about, I'm passionate about this area, but I don't have the educational background. Where should she begin to develop this as a fitness, mind, body, wellness professional?
Okay, passion trumps your educational background any day. Okay, you're attending this course. That's great. Okay. Find someone who's doing what you want to do and copycat their success. Sign up for their course. Ask them questions. If you have the passion to do it, I have two master's degrees. That accounts for this much of the experience that I use in my job. It looks nice on paper. Okay. But passion will get you through.
Beautiful. And then there's another question from Casey on how to cultivate a new habit. Especially early on, starting something new. And you have about a minute in which to answer that.
Well, okay, Thandi, I'll try really good. So here's the deal. There's all kinds of research on this about how many, you know, is it 20 days, 28 days, 7 days? There is some good research on the reptilian brain. So look that up, reptilian brain, understand what that means. And consistency is the key. You know, and again, you know, discipline. I mean, there's lots of people and everybody, you know, if you're a Navy SEAL, apparently, you know how everybody should live their life, I guess. But there are some good things that you can take from that, where discipline trumps motivation. So getting in the habit, whatever you need to do, if it's working out, maybe you just got to set your alarm. Don't hit the snooze, turn on the light, Get one of those alarm clocks that I've seen one. It's like a floor mat. You got to get out of bed and step on it. Have a cold shower. Study Wim Hof. I'm out of time. I don't know. Send me a message on social media. I'm sorry. Thandi, you can probably appreciate it. I've got the same, and Sydney knows that, I've got the same genetic Irish disease. We ramble on and talk too much, so my apologies.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Matt. I'm just going to give a couple of announcements, and one of my advice here is, well, I can hear clearly Matt is saying here, practice, practice, practice. And then The other, of course, is that there are over 1,000 presentations on the conference. So you can head on over to the conference portal and watch. This session will be available for the next 48 hours. And you can watch the ones that are still coming up for the next 2 days. And if you purchase it, you can earn them for a lifetime. There will be, it's a 50% discount and it ends on Sunday. So head on over and see what else there is in there for you to take a look at. And Matt, we have shared some of your contact details, and I think I'm going to end here with coming back to you to ask for, I think I might know, what is your top embodiment tip?
Wow. I don't know. That's so hard for me. Sleep better. I don't know. There you go. Sleep better and learn how to use technology so you don't bug Nora and Thandi when you have to give a presentation. I guess those are my two pieces of advice. Thank you, Nora, so much for being patient. Thank you, everybody else, for being
patient. Thank you, everyone. Thank you so much.
I hope you have an amazing time at the conference. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Matt. In fact, I thought you were going to say why. Ask why.
Ask why. There you go. See, that's why you're here. Thank you. My trusty assistant, Thandi, has bailed me out. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Right on the hour. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody.